All right, good evening, dear saints. Trusting you've had a lovely day, and trusting that you have had a good week, and starting a beautiful month tomorrow. Well, ready for the month. Welcome to Navigating Your Bible, the April edition. Like you know, we usually have this twice a year. We just want to try to explore a few things in our Bibles. Okay, so as much as possible, that like I'd always say, avoid all forms of distractions and ensure that you have an attitude as one who is, you know, a student of God's word with your Bibles, your writing materials ready and you know prepared to take down notes, open through the scriptures, and ensure, like I would always say, avoid distraction. Let's just go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so we'll just go ahead. Okay, let's just start up this evening. So we're looking at Navigating Your Bible, and this is the April edition. Okay, we're going to try to see how we can cover some grounds and ensure that we get our hearts, you know, to be edified and instructed through God's word, in God's word, this beautiful evening. Navigating Your Bible. Now, we plan to use this particular edition to focus our minds on the concept of faith and healing as taught in scriptures. However, it will have a background first in how to interpret the Bible, how the Bible should be interpreted. You know, I have a flashback on some of the things that we've said over the years regarding how to study the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to make meaning or make sense of the Bible, how to understand the Bible. Right. Let's just go to Mark. Look at Mark. Look at Mark. Look at Mark. Hopefully the microphone is loud now and clear. Hopefully that's what you have on your end. Look at Mark 16. Go to Mark 16. Go to Mark 16 and go all the way to verse 16. Mark 16. Hopefully we have good audio, right, as well as good video. If that isn't the case, feel free to just, you know, give me a nudge around that. Look at Mark's Gospel 16, Gospel according to Mark, and look at what we see in verse 15. Mark's Gospel 16 and 15. Mark's Gospel 16 and 15. Are we here? All right. Yeah, so we can hear loud and clear. Beautiful. Mark's Gospel 16. So look at Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, if you see what he says just after that, he says, to every creature. Now, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It means that the gospel is something that needs to be preached, and it needs to be preached to everyone. Now, you see, when you see creature there, I've heard some school of thought, as some people give some arguments around how creature includes all animals and all beasts of the air and all those fowls of the air and beasts of the wood and all of that, whatever name they call it, right? So, but if you look through carefully, you realize that God's intention is that, or Jesus' intention is that the gospel is preached to men. Okay, so he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Look at that one more time. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. He now says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So there are those that believe upon account of the message of the gospel that is preached. He now says that these signs shall follow them, right, in my name. Now, let's pay some, you know, emphasis or attention to verse 17. And these signs shall follow. Okay, so signs are to follow, and these signs spoken in context are to be followed, are to follow those that believe. So it means on account of the message of the gospel preached, there are two categories of people. There are those that believe and there are those that do not believe. Right? And it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Look at that one more time. These signs shall follow them that believe. It says, in my name. Look at that one more time. Right? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It says they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, what is Jesus saying here? On account of the gospel, there are signs associated with what needs to be believed, or there are signs associated with those things that have been believed. Look at that one more time, right? He says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. So, there is the belief and there is the sign, right? So it takes, you know, having faith to believe, right? And in the faithfulness of God altogether, right? And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall what? Speak with new tongues. And now it says they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So one of the things you'll find out in what Paul, Jesus is saying here is that there are supernatural signs that should follow those that believe. So look at it this way. Jesus expects that people should preach the message of the gospel. Now, when that message is preached, there are two categories of people on account of that. There are those that believe, there are those that do not believe. So those that believe, there are some signs that follow those of them that believe. So look at it again. There is Jesus giving an instruction to people to preach. The people who have been instructed are going to preach. Go all the way around to Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Romans 8. Or if you would, for our time, just go to Romans 10 immediately. Let's go straight to time. Let's just jump into the business, right? Look at Romans chapter 10. Go all the way to verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Are you there? Go to Romans chapter 10 and go all the way to verse 5. Yeah, look at Romans 10, 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into the heavens, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. He now says, but what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart, right? That is, you say the same thing as, that's the word here, confess, okay? I shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So what is the message of the gospel in Mark 16, according to Romans 12? That Christ was raised from the dead. So when a man believes that, who do we refer to, what do we refer to the man or the woman as? We say he or she is one that has believed. What did they believe? They believed that God raised Christ from the dead. That is, they believed in the resurrection. Right? So look at it again. Right? And they shall believe in the heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Right? So there is such a thing called those who will not be ashamed on account of believing in the resurrection. Right? So what did he say in, what did Paul say in Romans 10 about those people? He says, they shall be saved, or they are saved. Now, in them being saved, what does Jesus talk about? Speak about in Mark 16. Yeah, go back to Mark 16 again. So it says there are those that believe the message of the resurrection, and they are saved, and they are saved, and they are saved. Right? So who are those that are saved? They are those that believe the message of the resurrection. So if you go back to Mark 16, and it says that go into the world and preach the message of the gospel to every creature. What is the message of gospel in allusion to? The message will be regarding the message, or the message will be regarding the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. How do you know? What happens upon account of believing that is that one who believes, in verse 16, he believes and is baptized and is saved. Okay? Is believed, or he or she believes and is baptized and is saved. So the result of what is believed is salvation, is saving. So if the result is a saving, it simply means that there is such a thing called the message consistent in Mark 16 and Romans 10. What is the message from Romans 10? So the message from Romans 10 is the message of the gospel spoken about in a layman term in verse 16 or verse 15 of Mark 16. Right? Preach the gospel. What did Paul refer to that as that which makes a man saved? A man believes that Christ was raised from the dead. So when a man believes that Christ was raised from the dead, what happens to him? He is referred to as one who is a believer. Right? So he's a believer, one who believes. Then he's now referred to, he or she, as one. He's now referred to one who is saved. So there is that man which is saved. Then Jesus now says about the man who is saved. So who is the man who is saved? The man who is saved is the man that has received of the message that Christ was raised from the dead. So Christ was raised from the dead is a message. Believing that is the action a man takes. So look at it. Faith will be, for instance, fundamentally, a man having to place, you know, a believing of some sort, right, in something. Now, what is the placing a believing of a sort in? It really is going to be around the faithfulness of God. What is faithfulness of God? In that Christ was raised from the dead. Are we together? So how does a man, a believer, understand God's faithfulness primarily, right? A believer will need to understand God's faithfulness primarily by looking at what he did in the resurrection in Christ Jesus, right? So the faithfulness of God is fundamentally, primarily demonstrated through via the resurrection of Christ Jesus, right? So when you look through Christ Jesus and look through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, what do you say? That's the faithfulness of God, right? So which is more important, the faithfulness or the faith that a man needs to have in the faithfulness? Look at that again. The believing or the faithfulness, right? Which is more important? Well, both of them are important, but the truth is that you can have a faithfulness and people do not believe. But the truth is that you cannot believe what is not produced by faithfulness. So it means that what are you believing if peradventure there is no faithfulness in place? Are we together? So it means our emphasis, our attention when it comes to believing will be hinged on the faithfulness of God, right? So God is faithful. How do you know God is faithful? Well, God is faithful in the fact that right from time, the prophets of age, they've been saying that God will raise Christ up from the dead. You know, the psalmist will say in Psalm 66, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Yeah? Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Right? How would that be fulfilled through the resurrection? Right? It will be seen in the resurrection of Jesus. And those who thought he won't rise again, those who are opposition or were opposition to his resurrection, they will be dumbfounded upon his resurrection. All together, right? So when you see that resurrection happen, you see, that is the manifest presentation or the manifestation of the faithfulness of God, okay? So the faithfulness of God is fundamentally seen, not in any other thing save the resurrection of Jesus. Listen to what I'm about to say again. This is what I just said again. I'm going to say it again. The faithfulness of God is fundamentally understood by the resurrection of Jesus, by the resurrection of Jesus. So when you wake up tomorrow and say God is faithful, yeah, where should your attention go to? Your attention should go to the resurrection. Let me tell you something. If you by any means take your attention to any other thing other than the resurrection, now you might be happy some days, but you might not be happy all the days of your life. Are we together, right? You might be happy for some days, but you might not be happy all the days of your life, right? So the faithfulness of God is fundamentally seen. Look at Romans chapter 1. Look at Paul in Romans chapter 1. You know, in Romans 10, just a while ago, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant brethren that oftentimes I propose to come unto you. Now, if you've been a member of God's palace and you've listened to us for a few days, right, you realize that there's another scripture that has this tone from Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is that correct? Yeah. Now concerning spirituals, I will not have you to be ignorant. Are we together? We said the word there, ignorant, is to willfully despise information or despise knowledge. Okay? So we see that tone applied in Romans chapter 1. So it says, now I would not have you ignorant. Yeah? What is brethren? Now, brethren would mean, and it's got it from the Greek word adelphos. We said that over and over and over and over and over again. What is adelphos? Adelphos are those, got it from a root word, delphos, A and delphos, A and delphos, depending on how you decide to pronounce it, right? Delphos, we speak about a womb. Are we together, right? So of the same womb, adelphos, combination together, right? So when he says, I will not have you ignorant, my brethren, yeah, what is he saying? We are brought out into reality from the same womb, yeah? So the same way you say to your younger brother, your younger sister, your older brother, your older sister, who came out from the womb of which you came out from, which is that of your mother, and by the union of your parents, right? You realize that that same word is what is applied with spiritual, you know, spiritual implications, right? So it means you were born from the womb. I was born from the same womb. So the womb that produced you is the womb that, look at Hebrews 2. Don't forget, we're in Mark 16, okay? Look at Hebrews 2. Yeah, I always love this time of the year, right? As always, because it gives me the opportunity to say and repeat the same things I say consistently at a closer time range or time frame. Are we together? You know, an average gospel's time frame for every teaching is like, say, 2-3 days apart. Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, maximum, or Friday, or Sunday. But you know, this series makes me have the opportunity to repeat the same things over and over and over and over again. So look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah? Hebrews chapter 2. So look at Hebrews 2:1 first. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Yeah? Lest any time we should let them slip. Let me tell you something. If at the time or the day in which adversity raises its ugly head, and you don't have as much of God's word to use, it means you are not doing the right thing before that time. Or, let me say it differently, you were doing the right thing, but not with as much required pressure. Let me tell you, life will always be full of ups and downs, depending on what you call it. Yeah, you know, I remember when we were leaving school a couple years ago, right? We had someone who came to preach to us, you know, was telling us that, you know, as you're graduating, yeah, have a mindset of you're not going into a labor market, you are going into a favor market. It's brilliant. Let me tell you something. Yeah, in the labor market, you can have favor in the labor market. There's no point trying to make it look like people don't go through rigorous things, rigorous, stressful things before they get certain things in the life or in life in the world. Are we together, right? So there is the labor market that has a favor market in it. Are we together? And that labor market is open to both believers and unbelievers. You get the point, right? So there are things that will happen in life. There are things that are dependent. Let me tell you something. I'm only able to be as calm as I am today because there are some people in the nation I'm in the country I'm in the continent I'm in, that have allowed peace to reign in a certain way. You get the point? I'm saying there are people today that if they go on the news and they give a news in 10 minutes, there will be disruption, there will be instability all around, you know, the nation, the country, the town, the city, wherever you are. You get the point? Yeah? So those factors are things that are not being able, that are not, a man is not able to control to its fullest. Yeah, so if you know a little about the forex market, yeah, foreign exchange, you realize that for every item, or what's the word that you call it? For every currency pair, there are two currencies involved. It means a news with one currency can affect the other currency. You get the point? Yeah, and that's life. You get the point? So the truth is that if at a time, at the face of life you find yourself, right, and something happens and it breaks you down, makes you forget about Jesus, makes you forget about Christ, it means that in the days when it looks like things were going fine, you were not building as much strength as you ought to. Think about it this way, right? Imagine, for instance, something fell on the leg of someone. Let's think about it this way. Imagine Imagine something heavy fell on somebody who is a child, or someone who is in maybe 10 years old, someone who is a child, right? And it fell on their leg, right? You know that in the real sense, right, the strength you've built before that incident will determine if you can lift that thing up or not. And that's how life would always paint itself to you, right? So what did Paul, the writer of Hebrews, I'm sorry, Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Yeah, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Let me tell you, yeah, in our world, it's very easy to have itching ears to want to hear something new always. Yeah, well, Pastor said we're having faith and healing seminar. We have all the teachings he has done. They are all on our website. I want to get that. We can go there, listen to it. If I, we can even go and add other more preachers together, because I want something new. Pastor, you know, I remember someone reached out to me a couple years ago, yeah, right? And asked, why does Pastor repeat the same thing? Is it that he doesn't know so much? Yeah, well, thankfully, maybe I don't know so much. But the truth is that Paul says that, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. The things which we have heard. We have heard means it is in the past when we heard it. Okay? What did he say? Lest at any time we should let them sleep. Now look at what Paul says. We're coming back to Hebrews 2. Look at 1 Timothy chapter... No, let's go to 2 Timothy for our time. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Okay? Now, so if you've heard everything I've said in the last 25 minutes into 30 minutes, right, and you think that you've heard it before, that is why you're not taking notes, you're in the wrong. And let me tell you so for free, you are proud. Yeah? So if you're listening to me right now, I don't expect you to admire the screen. I don't expect you to be admiring what I'm saying. I'm not expecting you to admire what I look like. I expect you to have your Bibles open. I expect you to take notes as I'm talking. Else, you're a proud person. Yeah, that's simple. Okay, so look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Yeah, don't listen to this teaching and get yourself distracted. So if you're listening to me right now and you're cooking, you're proud. Simple. All together. Yeah, you know you can take out the next an hour, 30 minutes, right, every day this week and ensure that you don't do anything alongside. Yeah, let me say it again. If you are listening to me right now and you have your office desk beside you and you are working at your office desk, you are proud. All together. Yeah, and God resists the proud. You see, pride, when it's expressed, does not always look as how we say it. You know, pride is not always about, you come and brag, oh, I have a limousine, I have a Rolls Royce, I have a Range Rover. No, that's not always, that's not pride alone. Altogether, I'm saying to you, if you listen to me right now, you don't have your writing materials with you, you don't have your Bible with you, you are a proud person. Altogether. So look at all verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What did Paul admonish Timothy to do? He says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. What does in season, out of season mean? It means that even when they don't want to give their ears to the things which they've heard, or give themselves to the things which they've heard, that is, hear the same things over and over and over and over again. I was together. Paul says the minister should remain consistent. Look at it again. Preach the word. Be instant in season. So when people feel like hearing it, preach it. When people don't feel like hearing it, you preach it. You know, there's something called reactional theology, yeah, whereby as ministers of the gospel, we tend to direct and navigate our preaching to revolve around the happenings around human race. And together, you hear news today, for instance, and that becomes the backbone of what you teach. No, Paul says, in season, out of season, remain firm with the word. And together, right? He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. For a time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. So, now, how does a man endure sound doctrine? It means you remain patient, consistently listening to the same thing over and over and over again. Let me go back to how the trainers in the gym, right? You know, when you go to the gym, more often than not, as you build strength and capacity, you realize if we were to be someone who loves or who wants to build muscle, yeah, the first few days, what would they tell you to do? Stay with the pole, right? The pole, probably depending on wherever, whatever gym you are in, your pole is enough, about 10 kg for some instances, and they will ask you do 10 kg, 40 reps, however number they call it, for 4 weeks, for 5 weeks. Then what happens? You add 3 kg, you add 2 kg. But I'm saying a lot of believers want to lift 10 kg today. And because, you know how you like to encourage yourself. You just go to the gym, you lift small things, before you go to the camera, you're doing like this. All nothing is there. It's not showing. Yeah? The muscle you are building is still inside. It hasn't affected the skin. Yeah, it is when you do it rigorously, consistently, you don't even need to now start telling people, I go to the gym. It is that people will see it, that you go to the gym. Let me tell you something. You know those that go to the gym by how they look. I'm telling you something, yeah? And let me say it differently. You also know those that go to the gym and work in the gym effectively by how they look. Altogether, yeah? You can see people go to the gym and over time, they remain the same or worse. It means that what they are doing is not as much what they should be doing. That means they might be dissipating energy on the wrong things. Or they might be using the energy for something else afterward. You know how you can go to the gym today and immediately leave the gym, on your way back home, you are eating junk. That's what a lot of believers do, right? We listen to the word. The word has not even settled well into our bodies, into our hearts. But what do we get to do? We now go and start eating different junks and putting them, pumping them into our system. Are we together? But you see, when it comes to the things of God, there's a lot of safety in repetition. Yeah, Paul says, Hebrews author says that they should not sleep from our hands. Paul says, as a minister of the word, so if you're a minister of the word that needs to be preaching the word in season, out of season, consistently, it means you also need to be one that listens to the word in season, out of season, consistently. Don't let it be. Like, you see, you can know people who have fed themselves well in the word by how you see them respond to challenges. It's simple. Yeah, yeah. You can know how people get themselves rigorously involved in the world by how they respond to challenges. I'm trying to say that, right, there are certain things you will see, right? You know, if your strength fails you in the day of adversity. See, look at it this way. Jesus was on the boat. There's a lot Jesus had done in feasting and feeding on the world, such that he was calm in the midst of storm. Altogether, yeah, it just goes as much to show. It goes as much, I'm going to touch all of this in the later part of this series, but in this daily teaching, right? How we program our mind and how the word helps us program our mind. Let me tell you, if you are one who, the moment you feel a pain, the first thing you are going to is to go and search Google or ChatGPT, it means you are not giving yourself adequately to the word. What do you expect you will find? Is there anything you think you will search for on Google and say, what does it mean when you are feeling pain in your backbone? And they will tell you, oh, it means that money is coming. I know, answer that simple question. Can you go to Google and say, my nose is expanding small, my ear is beating, my left hand is vibrating, and they'll tell you, oh, that is a sign of prosperity coming. Tell me a single thing you can search in that line and what the feedback will come or give back to you is something positive. You won't find any. You won't find any. You say, what does it mean when your hair is growing sporadically at the back and slowly at the front? Yeah? Until the day they tell you that these are, features of someone that is about to run crazy. You know, and before you know it, that begins to now work on your mind, program your mind. The next factor they now say is that your leg begins to just beat fast and small, as if your heart is in your leg. And before you know it, you look at your leg and you see it there. Yet, when you are that kind of person who you are first fast to go into the world before the world, it just merely means you are more worldly than worldly. Do you hear what I just said? Yeah, if you are one who at any glance, everything, right? Yeah, every single thing, every little thing. Why? You wake up, for instance, you hit your leg, yeah, and your leg is swollen. After 3 days, it starts bringing out water. Yeah, the first thing you should do is, what is the word saying about that? Yeah, what can the word produce about that? You know, you can first use the word, then call the ambulance. Altogether, you know, I taught you all on Sunday, right? In the UK church, like, we spent some time just saying it over and over. Yeah, there's a response you have to situations. I'm saying you can actually believe the best for a situation. I'm jumping faster than I should. Yeah, but I'm saying you can believe the best for a situation and the situation doesn't align as much as you need to, you want it to be. But the moment you are in that situation, both before, after, during, you keep echoing to your heart, God's power is working. God's power is working. Are we together? God's power is working. God's power is working. I remember, you know, I usually go for regular checkups. Don't be surprised. Yeah, it's something I advise. Once you start approaching your 20s into your 30s into your 40s, yeah, you should be doing it more frequently, right? Don't spend a year without going to the hospital. Don't spend a year without doing a general body check. So I'm trying to tell you that it's okay. Yeah, beautiful. But you see, I went to the hospital, I think this was probably August last year, or there about sometime last year, right? And as they were telling me what the report of what my test was saying, right? I was responding, oh, they were asking, do you feel this? Do you feel that? I was like, yeah, I see, sometimes I feel this, you know? And I told the person who was listening to me, God's power is working. God's power is working. Are we together? Yeah, because I'm first a word man before a word man. You get the point, yeah? So if everything, right? So what are we doing in a series like this? To train your mind to see where to put your attention on, right? Yeah, you train your mind to see. You see, you have a child, you have a baby, you have a son, you have a daughter, right? And the temperature is rising. And let's say the eye is twitching. Yeah, no. You need to first speak the word. Yeah, your body is back to normal in Jesus' name because God's power is working right now in your body. If you are, I'm not going to give you an exam sheet to ask you to answer the questions I'm asking you. Yeah, I want this series to be as factual and frank with you. I want you to be as frank and factual with yourself. Yeah, using this series. Yeah, so gauge yourself. I'm just going to give you the solutions and the answers. So when you gauge yourself, you should be able to score yourself. I'm saying, if you have a headache, right, and your headache remains after you drink water, and you go to Google and say, what kind of headache remains after you drink water? You are a worldly person, not a worldly person. I'm saying, you don't go to the world first. You go to the world first. It just goes as much to show you've not fed your heart adequately. All together. You've not fed your heart adequately. So if Paul says, preach the word in and out of season, it means that you need to listen to the word in and out of season. Yeah, we grew up listening to a song singing, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Yeah, the meal required for your growth is read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Are we together? So if you think you are not growing, you are not studying as much, you are not praying as much. So use this series as a temperature check on your life. If you only pray and pray when you have leaders meeting, when you have workers meeting, when you have church services or special meetings, you don't have a prayer life or a study life as it should be. You should be one who wakes up with the word, who sleeps with the word, who stands up with the word, who goes to work with the word, who goes into activities of the word with the word. Because Paul says, preach the word in season, out of season. Altogether. So what the Paul says in verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So it means that there is such a thing called enduring. You know, when you're in the gym, if you go to the gym, you are lifting up, right? You are lifting up. Bless your heart if you have somebody who used to count backwards. Yeah, he will tell you or she will tell you, you're going to do 10 push-ups right now. Or you're going to push, you know, you're going to lift this thing 10 times, right? And what now happens? You now lift 1, 2, in your mind. You know, that's one of the easiest times to count as a human being. When you are about to lift something heavy, you cannot miss the calculation. You will count it yourself. But guess what? You have a trainer who, after you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? You see, what are they trying to do to you? They are trying to build in you a structure system of enduring. Because it is in that enduring. You know, I found out that, you know, sometimes if you're supposed to go 10 times, some of your instructors or some of our instructors will say, go one more time after the 10th time. What are they building in you? Endurance. Yeah, before you get on the treadmill, before you do 30 seconds of walk, not jog, not run, you're already panting. Yeah, find out. Do that consistently for 2 weeks. Yeah, you will not, no matter how much you think your heart is not functioning, the way you feel on day one cannot be the way you feel on day 14. That's the way the things of the Spirit work. That's the way the things of God works. So Paul says, preach the gospel, preach the message, or preach the word in season, out of season. A time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. But what will happen? But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means they want to look for sound bites. To kit it, to fit it, you got to sit it. To defeat the devil, right? Yeah, from his evil. You have to be on your feet and not on the seat so that you can kit up so that, yeah, that's what you want to hear. Something new, something you're always trying to see what is trending, what is the in thing. All together, you know, someone was in my house a few, you know, hours ago, you know, and you know, one of the things she had for the first time, you know, one of the things that, you know, the person had mentioned was that, you know, there's somebody who preaches, you know, he says the person preaches meat of the word, and you know, people don't understand it. Yeah, you know, you have to be mature to understand it. Not everybody can understand it. I said, that's not the word. Hey, that's not the word. Yeah, if you're a preacher, right, and more people that listen to you cannot understand it, such that they begin to feel very terrible. right? To the point that they think that they cannot understand what you are teaching because of how spiritual it is. No, that's not the word. Yet Paul will teach you, preach the truth, the word, in season, out of season, right? That means stay with the basics, consistently stay with the basics, right? Build the basics, build everything around the basics, right? He says, endure sound doctrine. I was together, but after their own itching ears, and look at what it says in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What did Paul say in verse 5? But watch thou in all things. He says, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist, make proof, full proof of thy ministry. What is he saying? Yeah, when you learn, even as you are growing in things of God, when you learn new things, it's not the best time for you to go and look for who to oppress with knowledge. I was gathered. Who to oppress with knowledge? So don't get it wrong as to why you think in God's palace we repeat a lot. Yeah, it is for your good. Yeah, so go back to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time they should slip away. Now, I took you to Hebrews 2 so that you can go all the way to verse 10. Don't forget, we're looking at the word brethren. Is that correct? Romans 1. We're at Romans 1:13. So where are we now? Yeah, I expect that every scripture we've mentioned, you have them in your notes. And everything we've said with every scripture you've written is in your notes. You get the point? Yeah, you get the point. Don't be somebody who just thinks you can listen to the word. You cannot grow that way. You can't. I bet it with you. You cannot grow that way. You cannot grow effectively when you don't have a note or a writing material to listen and listen and go back and listen over and over again. No. You don't get, a lot of times, you don't get a lot of these things once. You know, actually, on last week Wednesday in the UK church, some of you know that, right? I did a teaching on the double portion of the spirit of Elijah that Elisha asked for, right? And some of you were in church on Wednesday and on Sunday. That was 4 days after. You saw that after 4 days of teaching exhaustively, the teaching is still online, somebody still asked a question that made it very clear that the person did not understand. Now, it's not the person's fault. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm whoever the question is. We don't know who the person is. But if you are the one, this is not to blame you. But it is to show you how we need to give ourselves the more to the things of God and listen and listen and listen and listen and listen again. That's why you take note as a student. So you go back to your notes, you visit it. Go back to your notes, you visit it. Let it be that after you finish writing a note in a teaching meeting, right, you can actually be able to recollect 60 to 70% of what was taught in that meeting. Not because you studied it in your head, but because you have it in your notes. That's the attitude of a Bible student, okay? So, what did he say in Hebrews? Oh, gracious Father. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. See what it says? For it became him for whom are all things, right? Or for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Now, it says to make the captain of the salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So, Jesus says, the Bible says, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's the word adelphos. That means we are from the same womb of the resurrection. That is why the Bible uses Jesus, right? We'll use Jesus to teach about the first fruits, the first begotten. Altogether. So when the Bible holistically teaches about the concept of the first fruit, the first begotten, it's not as much teaching about your giving of your first salary in the first month, even though that's not wrong, that's not out of place. I want to get that something you can do, right? Having the right motive and intent, right? Not expecting that it multiplies on account of that. But it was used in scripture to teach about the first begotten from the land of the dead. I was together. So he is the first, that means he's our senior brother. Every other person that's a believer, we're all brothers. Jesus is the senior. He is the first begotten. The word there, first begotten, first of the kind of first fruit or first begotten. Yeah, prototo. That means the first of his type. He set a prototype to show that others can follow. Altogether. So Jesus, the first fruit, he calls us brethren, saying, I'll declare my name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God had given to me are for signs and wonders. Okay? Yeah? Yeah? That's in passing. Okay? So go back all the way to Romans chapter 1, where we are, Romans 1:13. What's the time? Wow, 43 minutes. Okay. Romans 1:13. Now I would not have ignorant brethren. That's what took me all the way to that journey. Yeah. That oftentimes I propose to come unto you, but was led hitherto, right? is that so, right? That I might have some fruit among you, even as among other what? Gentiles. Now look at what it says. It says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now go to verse 16, where I'm heading to. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What does the message of the gospel of Christ do? What does it do? It makes a man who believes it saved. So in the message of the gospel is the inherent power to make a man saved. All together, right? So it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For thereunto is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written that the just shall live by faith. So the just comes alive, or the just has a life sustained by faith, right? In the faithfulness. That's what the epistis, faith. Right, this from Habakkuk 2. All right, together, right? So the just shall live by faith means the just comes alive on account of the faithfulness, or on account of believing in the faithfulness. So what is faith fundamentally? Faith fundamentally cannot be considered in isolation of the faithfulness of God. You get the point? Right? Yeah, faith, I'll say it one more time. Faith cannot be considered in isolation of the faithfulness of God. Praise God forevermore. So Mark 16. Let's continue where we stopped. Where we started from. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16. Are you in Mark 16? Yeah, so look at Mark 16 again, verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So a man is saved because he believes the message of the gospel. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So what is Jesus saying here? There are signs that we are accompanying those that have faith in the faithfulness of God. So you see why we teach faith and healing more often than not together? I was together, right? Yeah. So faith is not only used for healing, but more often than not, you see it linked in association with healing. Now we find ourselves in a world where people have so many questions about their faith. Now listen to what I just said. They have questions about their faith. All together, right? Now, there's the use of the word faith as a religion or as a practice, as a doctrinal persuasion. And there's the use of the faith, word faith as a believing. All together. I've had so many people ask different kinds of questions about God. If God is really alive, why do people die? Why do good people die? If God is really alive, why can he not save people from disaster? Why? Those are different questions on the hearts of people in their journey of faith. Altogether. But the truth is that when it comes to the Christian faith, yeah, our faith is hinged primarily on his faithfulness in the resurrection. Please note that in your book. Altogether. Else, life can be so funny, and life itself has a way of pumping questions into your heart. Very important. Life in itself has a way of pumping strange questions into your heart. Altogether. Strange questions into your heart. Altogether. So we have people who say, if God is really God, yeah, you know, and that is, you know, start seeing people say things like, God, to prove you are faithful, God, if you are faithful, God, to prove you are faithful, let me get this application for this loan. Let me get this application for this job. Lord, prove your faithfulness. The question is, there are many factors in this life that man will not always be able to give an explanation to and an explanation for. Are we here? Lord, if you can heal me this time, I won't take sugar again. Lord, to prove your faithfulness. Are we together? That's why, you see, it is not ideal for the believer to hinge his faith or his understanding of his faithfulness of God on mundane things that can come and go. Think about it. Someone is late or someone dies, and your faith, for instance, is able to bring that back to life. That's supernatural. That's a sign. Those are miracles that believers should expect in their lives. But the truth is that what happens when they are 90? What happens when they are 100? Peradventure 120. You see, a time will come. So if, for instance, they came back to life in their 20s or in their 30s or in their 40s, I was together, And you say, ah, God is faithful because of that. I was together. What will be your response if they don't come back in their 70s, in their 80s, when you pray the same prayer of faith? I was together. So, is the prayer of faith wrong at any of the times? Nope. But is your understanding on God's faithfulness wrong at any of the times? Yes. Because fundamentally, you would understand, should understand, God's faithfulness based on the resurrection of Christ. Altogether. So why does evil things happen to good people? Well, in the world we find ourselves, evil things will always happen to good people and good things to evil people. Yeah, I don't have a definite explanation to that, but I know that God is faithful. Yeah, you know, there's certain mindset a believer should have to be able to judge God faithful in every situation. Now, you see, when you hear some of us say things like, in every situation, we say things like, God is faithful. We are not saying it because of the outcome of the situation, but the outcome of the resurrection. That's important. Write that in your notes. We're not saying we judge God faithful because of the outcome of the situation. Because of the outcome of the situation. No, it is because of the outcome of the resurrection. God said that he will rise on the third day, and he did on the day. That's faithfulness to me. That's faithfulness for me. Altogether. So we judge God faithful, not because we got a house, not because we bought a car. Yeah, see, let me ask you a question. Can you pray and pray to God and fast to God that you want to get a house or a job or a car or a private jet? Yeah, you can do that. Can you have it? Yes, you can do it. But I'm saying, don't hinge your understanding of God's faithfulness on mundane things, for they can change. You see, a man can get a jet that or a helicopter that he has wished for all his life, or he has bought with his own money. And the day he flies the helicopter collides with a strange bird and it crashes. Listen up. So are we going to say it's the faithfulness of God in getting him the helicopter that got him to die? You know, I know we as Christians, particularly as Pentecostals and Charismatics, we always have a way of trying to remodel activities around us just to help God. Yeah, I remember someone very insensitively and very brutishly, you know, she said to me, you see, that God took my dad at the time because there are a lot of evil that was going to happen in Nigeria. So God didn't want his eyes to see it. Now, first of all, that's very silly to say. Right, I'm not talking about the aptness of the knowledge. The insensitivity in that statement just shows a lot of stupidity. Let me that I was trying to minimize myself from saying stupidity, but that's very silly and stupid. You got the point? Yeah. So eventually, we find that a way to always explain. Hey, somebody came out from a car crash the other day. He say, thank God. It's like God didn't want me to go for that job interview. Or it's like I was going to go and meet a girl and the Okada I was on or the powerback I was on had a crash. It's like God was... Why do you have to wait for God to speak to you through terrible, bad situations and incidences? Why do you have to wait for that? No. See, you must always understand that life will not always go as you plan. See, I don't know how well I can say that will not take away the point in which I'm communicating. Life will not always go as you plan. Some of you, you are in your late 30s. Some of you are in your early 30s. You are in your late 20s. You are in your early 40s. Some of you thought by now you would have had your first child. Are we together? Yeah? And the truth is that the age you thought you would have had your first child, you've passed the age, you don't have somebody that is toasting you. That's life. You know, like some people will say, man proposes, God disposes. That's life. Now, why am I doing a series like this? Or why are we doing a series like this? It is so that your mind is aligned on the right thing. I was speaking to someone, you know, one of you here who was listening to me, you know. And, you know, she had reached out to me and was just having a conversation around, you know, if a decision around something that was going to, you know, offshoot some bills and some cost and all of those things, right? You know, and one of the things that was mentioned on that call was around how thinking that they get the approval for that thing means God is involved. And I had to now, you know, start explaining it over time, right? That do you know that it is possible that God will actually want you to go into that field, yeah? Or you might have leadings and promptings in your heart to go into that field for a reason, for a cause, but you won't get that application. You don't hinge your understanding of God's leading, God's faithfulness, on things that are unstable. Are we together? Yeah. So where does instability reside? Not on God's side, but on amongst activities. I mean, look at James 1. James chapter 1. I'm trusting God that this series will help you realign your mind to put your mind in the right place. Are we together? Yeah. To put your mind in the right place. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse 5, if I'm not mistaken. Look at James chapter 5, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. Are you in James 1, 2? He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Are we here? But let patience have a perfect work, right? That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now look at verse 5, my emphasis. And verse 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Look at the characteristics of what James mentions about God. He says, let him ask of God, the God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means God gives liberally and does not find fault. That's God's character. Altogether. Yeah? So it means somewhere in your mind, you should understand that if for any reason you are asking for something, right, and you don't get what you are asking for, right, the issue is not with the instability found in the court of God. It is in the instability that must be explained within the confines of man's activity. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah, that you prayed for someone and the healing did not manifest as you would have thought. It is not God leaving the sickness to punish the person. I remember Pastor was teaching about something. Pastor was teaching about something a few recently. I've heard him say that story over time, over the years, really. You know, and one of the things he said was that there was a lady who I think she had cancer, right? And in the cancer, in her cancer, she came to meet Pastor and she said, that this cancer, I want you to pray for me. That I feel like I've been very stubborn to the leading of God, and I think God wants to show me a lesson or teach me a lesson, right? I feel like God is teaching me a lesson so I can calm down and learn lessons from cancer. And Pastor just said, oh, beautiful. Let's just pray together. Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this, thank you, Lord, for this cancer. Thank you, Lord, for this cancer. We pray and receive that we more cancer is pumped into our body for Jesus. And the lady shouted, why? Yeah, but he said, but I wanted you to be able to learn more, right, from this experience. Now, so it can be, it's because the lady said that God wanted to use the cancer to draw her closer to God. Yeah, don't always think you have to explain something away because you want to help God. No, you apply for a job, it rejects you. Yeah, it could just be your CV was messed up. You know, in my very few days of helping people review and look through CVs, I've seen that an average person has a terrible CV. That's the truth. Unfortunately, an average person, I've reviewed CVs probably into 500, into 1,000 in the last few years. I'm not exaggerating for different people. I'm not exaggerating. I don't do it as a contract or as a job. Into 1,000. Yeah, and an average person has a terrible CV. But you see, you apply to a place and they don't give you the job. What do you do to make yourself happy? Maybe God is preventing me from somebody who will change the course of my destiny and make me follow the devil. It doesn't always have to be that. Don't use circumstances to understand God's leading, God's faithfulness. No. It could just mean that you don't deserve the role. It could just mean that you are not the right candidate for the role. Yeah? No, I don't go to labor market. You've not started. Yeah, you know, when you apply for jobs and you apply for 1,000 jobs and none of them give you positive feedback, you will know that you're in labor market. You will know. You know some things, you will learn. You're going to learn, and you're going to learn the godly way. That's the God's palace way of saying it. You will learn, and you will learn the godly way. Yeah, apply for 1,000. You've not seen, even me as your pastor. Yeah, do you want to know how many hundreds of jobs I applied for or have applied for in my life? Yeah. I will not say no. All those companies they are losing out. What if you are? They don't want me. Yeah, they don't know what God wants to bring their way, man. What if you are the one God is taking from their way? What if God is saving them from you? You enter into a relationship, the guy breaks up with you or the lady breaks up with you, and you say, God wants to shield. God wants to shield. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for shielding me from evil or for harm. What if you are a terrible person? What if you have a terrible conduct? I hope you know that more often than not, people with bad conducts don't admit they have bad conduct. Listen, who is on this call that agrees they have bad conduct? Yet there are some people listening to me today that there are several relationships that have gone sour, that shouldn't have gone sour, but it was because of the badness of your conduct. I use the word badness. How bad your conduct is. Yet you think you are the one. Why do you always think life is about you? You are the apple of his eye. You are the apple in his throat. You are the esophagus in the... Why do you always think? Sometimes you are, your relationships are destroyed, are scattered with somebody you thought you would build a life with and marriage with. Yeah? Because of your... It is actually... Let's assume God is in the situation to save anybody. Is the partner they are saving from you. Why am I saying it this way? Yeah? Just so that you can think a little. Yeah, you don't have to put yourself in a position where you are trying to explain to help God. Trying to... Mankind always has a way of trying to justify. Mystery always has a way of trying to justify. And that's why you realize, you know, if you're in school, for instance, yeah, it's a big problem. You were in school, right? You did an exam over 100 and you got a 50. And what is on your mind is not to see the questions you failed first. Right? What is your mind is to ask, what the Elizabeth get? What the Adekunle get? What the Esther get? That's a problem. That's a problem. Do you understand? Right? It's a different thing for you to say, what did this person get? And you are asking because you want to see their script to correct yourself. But you are asking because you want to make yourself feel good that at least you did not do really bad. After all, we're 20 in the class. I became 11th. Are we together? Yeah? So, I'm trying to say, you need to ensure you get yourself in a place where you accept that things will happen in life. And it will not always happen as you wish, as you plan, as you want. But there is something that has happened, and that's the resurrection. It happened according to how God wanted it to happen. And that's sufficient for me. My sister will usually say things to my siblings, and my siblings and my mom will always say something to me, right? You don't know the days I lose thousands of dollars. You can't know it. Yeah? We don't want to go into those details. Yeah? Yeah? There are days I'm coming to... I remember there was a day I was walking to church, right? And I was about to go to church, and I made an investment of probably $1,500 or $1,600. This was probably 2022, right? And I made an investment of about $1,600 probably dollars just before the meeting, right? And right in front of my eyes, I just went to shower and I came back into the room and everything do whoop. Yeah, if I can tell you for free, you cannot trace that meeting where that happened. You don't see it on my face. You don't see it on my countenance. Why? I believe you can have money today and lose it tomorrow. And you can have nothing today and have money tomorrow. That is life. You need to come to that realization. See, the earlier you do it, the better for your sanity, for your sanctity, for your anything you want to call it. All together, yeah? So, my siblings are always scared, yeah, to make investments, to invest in the things I invest, or to put, you know, their money in the things I put my money in. Why? Because they know, they've not got into the place. I'm saying it openly so that you can all know, yeah, we are all growing, we're all getting there. But because they know, if this thing crashes, I'm going to say glory, rejoice. I'm going to say the same way and do a galio in front of you all in church. Right? And model soundness in the things of the Spirit. And model soundness in teaching. I've never for once, with thousands, I'm talking about proper thousands of money lost. Never for once. I've never thought about it in my teaching. Because once it's time to pray, it's time to get into the Word, it's time to take the Word, it just pauses right there. All together. Yeah, I've had situations where I've done job interviews and done to grade 5. I know the interview would have encouraged me. Wow, you seem to be the best candidate. Wow, I'll be surprised if we took another person other than you. And whilst I'm jumping into church to go and just minister the word, and what happens? And unfortunately, comes in. After 5 stages. Well, I've learned that in all things, the Lord is my strength and the Lord is faithful. Are we together? And the Lord is faithful. I was telling you on Sunday, right? Yeah, you see, my dad, when he fell ill, right? The truth is that I stayed in faith till the last day. Even at the day, my siblings, my mom remember that, even at the day it was in the mortuary, in the morgue, I walked into the mosque. I used Jesus' template. You know Jesus? He went to go and raise Mark 5. He went to go and raise, is it Dorcas, right? Tabitha, sorry. The other one, Peter's Dorcas, right? Peter is one that had to do Dorcas, right? Tabitha Kumi, right? I practiced it. What did Jesus do? The Bible says that he asked the people, we're going to look at it in this series as well. He asked the people full of unbelief to step outside and asked the mother, the father, the child, three of the disciples and himself to remain with the dead lady in the room. And he said, Talitha Kumi. And he said, Talitha, come forth. I went to the mortuary, right? And I said, Pastor Amos, yeah, jump out and come forth. We are all there together. We are all sitting down there together. The truth is that, nothing happened. But I walked out of that mortuary and I said under my breath, God's power is working. God is faithful. I have learned, I'm learning not to judge the faithfulness of God on things that vary. Altogether. Yeah, imagine I said, today I will know God if you are truly faithful and you are the God, the creator of the heavens and earth. See, you can do that kind of washing and whining and nothing happens. And it does not change the fact that he's the creator of heavens and earth. why am I talking this bluntly with you all? See, you need to get your heart in the best place so that you don't get yourself overly. That's why a lot of us are always easily disappointed. Easily. You apply for a job, they don't get back to you. What do? You apply for another one. You look for help, seek for help. Who can help you review your essay? Or who can even listen to what you say? Because some of us, the things we say during interview yourself, if I were to be the judge, and I, even if you're my blood brother, it will take the message of God to employ you. Yeah? So you know there are some things you can change, some things you can affect, you can work on, change. And let's assume you even do all of that, you still don't get a job or get a deal. You don't judge God's faithfulness because of the deal you get or the deal you don't get. Yeah? So what did James say? He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We say, what is James saying? You will fall into temptation and diverse time. That means you will fall into, you will have good news today. You will have not so good news tomorrow. You will have not as great as much a good news tomorrow or next tomorrow. Or next. You will not always, more often than not, have good news every day. Even the richest men in the world. Altogether. Even the richest men in the world. Altogether. But the truth remains that for the believer, what did James say? He says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You build stamina. You build stamina. You remain. So if you look at verse 6, it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So where is double-mindedness found? In the bosom of man, not in the bosom of God. I'm saying you can pray to God, ask God to do something, but even if that thing you pray for does not come according as you have asked, God is faithful. I hope you are here today. God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, I always tell you, when you look through your organization and see people are made redundant, look at it as a type on shadow. There is nothing that says that because you are a Christian, the company will never... No. See, favor can make it be delayed, but if a company really needs to close up, they will close up. Altogether. Yeah? Yeah? If a car that, you know, some of us, things we even attach this thing called faith to, is very interesting, yeah? But be it what, come whatever you attach it to. You want to do your mid-year review or end-of-year review. God, to prove your faithfulness, let me have an A. You can have an A. See, I've had an A before, right? And the company came to me, this was like maybe last year or there, but, and my line manager got back to me and said, you see, the HR director or something on the team, they came back and said that we had so many people who had A that year, right? So they've asked most people to be brought down to B. Altogether, yeah? See, I don't use that to judge God's faithfulness over my life. I use the resurrection to judge God's faithfulness over my life. Altogether, yeah? There might be some that they left at A, but the truth is that maybe I didn't just do as much that is deserving of A. Are we together? Yeah? In fact, there was another time as well that was dropped from A to B and from B to C. Praise God, I'm still preaching God to preach it to you today. Are we together? Right? That's where identity crisis comes from. I don't gauge and understand myself from the instability that sits within the bosom of men. I gauge and understand myself in the identification of myself with the resurrection of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. So the question is, why do I believe in miracles? I believe in miracles because God is faithful. I believe in miracles because God's word teaches it. Yeah. So he says, go back to Mark 16. Mark 16. Are you here? Yeah. So it says, go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes is saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So there are signs that will follow. Altogether, look at Matthew 16. So God is a good God. There's such a thing called the faithfulness of God that is irrespective of the things you go through or don't go through. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 3. Matthew's Gospel 19, verse 3. I hope you're there. Yeah, he says, the Pharisee also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Look at verse 4. And he answered and said, remember, we're doing navigating your Bible, right? So look at how Jesus' response, you know, came into place. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female altogether, right? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twine, and they twine rather, shall be one flesh. Right? So what was Jesus' response? Right? Now, if you look through Deuteronomy 28 verse 4, 24 verse 1, sorry. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. When a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it. So, what is Moses' law teaching? When a man has an issue with his wife, right, and he feels like his wife is not longer satisfying him or unclean or whatever the case might be, Moses says, let him give a bill of divorcement or the divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house altogether. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go to be another man's wife. So what is the reason for the bill of the divorcement? It is to make the lady free. Get the point? Yeah, just like what you call in our world today, right? When two people go their separate ways or they divorce from a marriage, there's something called going to the court to ensure, right, that you are now free legally to be entangled with another person. Altogether, right? Look at verse 3. And if the latter husband hates her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. Get the point, right? After that, she is defiled. For this, that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord God hath given to thee for an inheritance. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home for 1 year. You know, and that's why you see there's also, you need to also understand the word of the Bible and the world that we are in today. You know, what you call, neither shall he, when a man taking a new wife, what does it mean when a man is newly married, a newly wedded couple? What do we call it in our world today? It says, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with anything. That means don't do any business, don't work. Yeah? So what is that teaching? Your honeymoon should be for 1 year. Praise God forevermore. Try it now. Try it. Yeah? It says, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home for 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he had taken. So imagine your responsibility is just to cheer up your wife for 1 year. Yeah, what you call honeymoon, that, what you know, in 3 days, you go for honeymoon like this, you spend £10,000. Yeah? Paul says, no, be patient. And Moses, be patient. Do it for 1 year. Eh? So that means if you want to travel, if you are going 1 year, you can use one month to commute. Yeah, just be walking and be strolling. Before you know it, you're in UK. Before you know it, you've got into Antarctica. Before you know it, you're in Australia. You understand? And then once you now realize that the calendar is approaching 9 months, you start walking back home. Yeah, well, that's a joke. Right? So if you go back to Matthew 19, it says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning? So where were they quoting from? Look at verse 3, Matthew 19, 3. The Pharisees came to him, tempting him. That means you can use the scriptures to tempt pastor. Is that correct? I remember we used to have a brother at that time in church, in church with my parents, right? And every time the question you always ask is to come and switch scripture to ask pastor, why can he not marry two wives? I would get that. Meanwhile, what he was trying to justify was so that I can be sleeping around. Eh? Or, pastor, why are you saying, does the Bible teach? Show me one portion of the Bible that it teaches that a woman should be a preacher. Or a man should wear earrings. Or a woman, so you can use the scriptures to either build yourself spiritually or to tempt another. So what were they doing? Bible says they were tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Right? So where were they quoting from? Deuteronomy. Where did Jesus point them to? Look at verse 4. And he answered and said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning? So because of the kind of a heart they had, because of the hardness of their heart, Moses gave certain instructions. So there are certain things that we will read, and it is written that way because of the hardness of the hearts of the people that are in the context of the writing. Yeah, so Jesus took them back. Look at 2 Peter. That's why we always say the Bible needs to be read holistically. The Bible needs to be read from pillar to post. A lot of us as Christians, we always have what to say about the Bible. But a lot of us have not even read the Bible from cover to cover. Ask yourself a question. In your Christian faith, since you have been born again, how many times have you read the Bible? Simple question you can ask yourself. Yet you want to be an authority in the Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Look at verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scriptures is of any private interpretation. Yeah, no prophecy of scriptures of any type of interpretation, for the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. So no portion of scriptures, no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. That means scriptures are to be read holistically, not privately. What does this, the word for the day? And some of us have that practice of using the word for the day, word for the day, word for the day. Yeah? You see, a lot of times you are quoting the word for the day, right, out of context. You get the point? Yeah? You see, when you are someone who finds it difficult to get words up that way, words that can be used scripturally without taking scripture out of context, and you sort of try to resolve your mind to just use scripture as you will, because you don't have so many scriptures that will support the fact that it is in context, it just really means you've not paid as much attention to God's word as the truth. Yeah? You know, children, let's read our Bible together today. What does Isaiah 46 verse 1 say? You say this, that, that, that. You see, that, what does it mean to me? No, you must first understand what it meant to them, what the interpretation of that they got from it. Then look at what it is in our world. Pastor Shegu has brought a mechanism in Bible interpretation called identification unifier. I think we talked it a little in Salvation series in 2021, right? Looking at their words, looking at our words, and looking at what is common in both worlds. That is only the thing that you can do. That's what you can do to help explanation easier for you in your world. Are we together? Right? So, Bible, don't forget, in Bible interpretation, you must read the Bible in context. So, there is the immediate context, there's the overall scriptural context, right? There's a chapter context, there's a book context. Very important to always note. Let's look at a few examples, or one example just before we go. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. Yeah, give, it should come back to you. Good measure, praise down, shake it together. Running over, give, it will come back to you. A lot of us grew up using that song in our churches for offering time, or blessing time, offering or sacrifice time, or giving time. Yeah, for the Bible says when you give, it comes back to you. Good measure, praise down, shake it together. But the Bible question is, what is the context of that teaching? Jesus did not have money in mind. There was no financial implication in mind. What was the teaching? Forgiveness. Judge not so that you will not be judged. He was teaching about judgment and forgiveness. But guess what? We've taken out the context, right? And what we have right now, we've taken out the corn from the text. I mean, the text from the context. And what we have is corn, like Pastor Joseph Prince will say, right? We've taken out the text from the context, and what we have left is corn. Altogether, right? So look at a quick example. Oh, I just even showed you that in Matthew 7. Look at Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is unto the day is the evil thereof. Why am I looking at 33? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. A lot of times when we read through the scripture, what we see from there is, I'm going to serve God with all my heart so that every other thing will fall in alignment. So if you want things to fall in alignment with you, ensure that you seek the kingdom. But that's not what it's teaching at all. Right? A good way to read that would be desire to see the first, or make priority the things of God, the kingdom of God. And that which is the right doing in the earth is righteousness, right? And all of these things shall be added unto you. What are the things? He had already mentioned how the birds don't need to desire them before they have them, or they don't need to pray before they have them. Are we together, right? So these things shall be added anyway, because God has put a structure in the earth, right? That man will find a system and a structure to feed and take care of themselves. Yeah, the reason why that is not the consistent trait across the globe, across the world, is because covetousness and stinginess is resident right in the bosom of man. Altogether. So what is thinking about seek kingdom of God? If you go to chapter 7, verse 7, ask it shall be given unto you, seek it shall find, knock the door shall be opened unto you. Right? You know, some of us use this for scripture, and a good one to appreciate it is James chapter 4, verse 3, verse 4. Yeah, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Yeah, you see, the Bible says that ask is given unto you. Yeah, what is that you are asking for and you've not gotten? The Bible says, James chapter 4, verse 3, he says that if you ask and you receive not, it's because you are asking amiss. The question is, what are you asking? What are you asking for God? You know, if a father has the money to buy private jet and Rolls Royce, right, and his son is 14 years old and is asking for the key to the car, you see, the father, because he's a good father, yeah, say good with me, he's a good father, he's a good father, so you will not give that child that is 10 years old or 11 years old the key to the Rolls Royce. Why? Because that can kill his life. So there are some things you ask from God, and he gives you three answers: yes, no, or wait. Yeah, yes, no, or wait. Right? But if it's not within the category of that, what am I just saying? You are just taking the scriptures out of context, and you are saying nothing in what you're saying. You get the point? Yeah. So ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Now look at what it says in verse 8: for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened. He says in verse 9: or what man is there of you, whom if the son shall ask for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for fish, will he give him a serpent? He says, if you then being evil, the word there evil is unstable. Now you see, where did James say instability is found? James says instability is found in the bosom, in the heart of man. Yeah, so Jesus says, if you're being evil, that is unstable, right? Unpredictable, right? Yeah, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, that is, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, give good things to them that ask him? Yeah, so we've used that good thing to speak about your car is a good thing, your house is a good thing, your job is a good thing. Those are good things of life, but that's not the context in which Jesus is teaching. Anything you ask God, you see, I believe that if you are mature enough to listen to me, no matter your age, and you understand what I'm saying, you should have lived long enough in this earth to know that it's not everything you pray for and ask for in prayer that you will get. You should know that. Altogether. So why do we pray? Prayer is a way of showing we depend on the faithfulness of God. So a believer should never get himself in a place of saying, after all, it's not everything. So why do I need to have faith? You get the point? Yeah, it's not every sickness that will be healed. So why do I have to... No. That's a wrong place to be as a believer. You see, the believer is one who needs and also believe the best of every situation till the last. You know, I always say it in Nigerian church for you. I've seen it a couple years now. I said, let it be that whatever the situation is, no matter how the situation goes, it meets you in faith, staying in faith, still believing for supernatural help of God. Right, so the good thing is there. Look at how Luke teaches it while I close today. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 4, or verse 9. Luke 11, verse 9. Very, very important. Look at Luke 11, verse 9. Luke look at Luke 11. Are you there? Are you there? Look at Luke. Look at Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given. That same thing we read in Matthew's Gospel 7. You know, ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. If you spell those words, ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock. Yeah, what are the first letters? A for ask, S for seek, K for knock. What does that mean? It means that A-S-K. It means that asking is the most important thing. That's why when you ask and you don't receive it, it might be that you are asking amiss. Nope. How do you apply that to healing? There's no time when you are praying and believing God for healing that is asking amiss. So what are we saying? You get the point? Yeah? So that means you need to work on your mind to understand that God doesn't use evil to tempt to train. No. God doesn't use evil to train man or to train his son or to train his children. So you might ask yourself a question. Why is it that so many things are happening and it seems like there are bad things happening together at the same time? No, that's not God in the equation. What is God's play in that equation? He is faithful in the resurrection. Because of his faithfulness in his resurrection, you derive strength to go through that phase. Are we together? Right? You know, one of the things I found out in life in my very few days of living on this earth is that you think you are the one going through the worst case in this world until you hear another man's story. Do you get the point? Until we hear another man's story. So the Bible says that ask shall be given, you know, for everyone that asks, receive, and he that findeth shall knock, and he that knocketh shall be opened. He that seeks shall find, rather. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. Remember, we spoke about the father in Matthew 7 and the father being evil. So when Jesus says father being evil, it means the father being unstable. So he's not saying that the father, man is terrible. No, he's saying man is unpredictable, man is unstable. So he says, if he then being evil, know how to give good gifts in verse 13 to your children, how much more shall your father or your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So what in Matthew 7 say? How much more shall your heavenly father give good things to them that ask him? Okay, what did Luke say? How much more shall your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit? So how do you replace good things? It means the good things there is not as subjective and relative to what you think is good. No, it is the Holy Spirit being spoken about. So how do you ask? That is, you desire. That is, so how do you receive the Holy Ghost? You receive the Holy Ghost by having faith in the faithfulness of the resurrection. Altogether, say one more time. You receive the Holy Ghost by having faith in the faithfulness of the resurrection. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. It's been beautiful having, you know, these conversations with you. I'm starting today as day one. Day one is gone. We're going to continue again day two and go all the way to day six. And I'll do, you know, probably we'll have like a healing meeting, for instance, in both churches on Sunday, right? We just practice that on Sunday, right? But I want to use this series to build your faith, to ensure that you have your heart in the right place, right? Why am I saying the things I'm saying the way I'm saying it? I want to try to ensure that we all abuse our minds from the wrong places our minds usually travel to. I always get what I'm saying. There are some times, for instance, you are believing and trusting God for certain things, and things don't go according as you wish or you planned. But the truth is that there's a thing called judging God faithful. Now, what can make that easy for you to do? It is, you are judging God's faithfulness based on the reality of his resurrection in Christ Jesus. Well, make it a pleasure to bring us all your way. You know, I would admonish you. I will do the same as well. Between now and tomorrow, I'll take our time to listen to this again. It's just an hour, 30 minutes. You can do that within the next 12 hours, rather 24 hours, really. So I will listen to my teaching again today. I admonish you to do that again. Pay attention to the words that were written, the words that were said. You know, you can have questions, write them down. Now, like I always teach you, have the back of your notes as a place where you write your questions down, so that when a series is over, if your question is not tackled midway or at the end or at the beginning, you can still ask the question, right? But, you know, listen to it again. Pick it up again tomorrow by 7 p.m. And to ensure that, you know, we have a beautiful time in God's Word tomorrow, just get yourself to revisit the things we said today. Even if you just go over your note again, before you stand up, don't just rush to eat. Yeah, you won't die right now. Yeah, you are not that hungry. Yeah, don't just rush to eat. Yeah, because if something were to sound like a bomb beside your house, you will pick race, you will run, and you will not remember you've not eaten. So it means you can actually discipline yourself not to actually just leave right now to go and eat. Go through the things you wrote. Hopefully you wrote things you know. Well, I'll see you again tomorrow.